Let's start with prayer. Boys, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we submit this time to you. We want to hear from you, and we want you to talk to us. Teach us things. Increase our faith. Raise us to new heights and new levels in you. Tonight, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, here's what's been on my heart. And that is the first scripture I put on this paper. And the title, What Comes First? If you're going to do something, you need to know what to do first. Or if you're going to start a new task or you're in the middle of a task, what do I do first? Let's say you get out of bed. Javon, what do you do first when you get out of bed?
Brush my teeth.
Okay. Josiah, when you get out of bed, what do you do first?
Go pee.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Then go brush my teeth.
Okay, good.
And get snacks and go to school.
All right. Well, now I'm going to talk. Well, there are things that are important to do first. If you don't go to the bathroom first, you may have an accident later. If you don't brush your teeth first, when you go to the dentist, he might say you have cavities. Well, I have certain things I do first. And I was thinking about that, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I have something I want everybody to do first. And I said, well, what is it? And you know what? He quoted a scripture out of the Bible to me, and it was one I knew very, very well. But I had let it not be first. I had let it go right over my head and didn't even think it should be first. And so, Elizabeth, would you read our scripture?
Yes. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.
So God said, or Jesus said, first. Here's what I want you to do first. Clear. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I'll confess in my sin to you, I was seeking answers. What about this, Lord? What about that? You said you're going to supply my needs. How are we going to get the money to pay the bills? You said you were going to take care of me, that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. What are you going to do about this pain? I'm seeking answers first. I didn't realize, and you know, I repented to the Lord, and I was grateful that he corrected me. I didn't realize that I was totally ignoring his command. Usually there's a big picture. And if you don't seek me first, you don't see the big picture, and you're not going toward the goal I want you to go toward. You're seeing a little picture of what's going on inside of your heart. He said, it's not wrong. I just want you to grow as a child of mine. And it is wrong, but he wasn't condemning me. He was saying, let's change. What's the big picture? Well, my goodness. Number one, he wants everyone saved. He wants people to know Jesus. He wants people to receive Jesus as their Savior. He wants people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants people to grow as Christians. And so that's big picture. I wasn't looking at big picture. I was thinking, Lord, how are we going to help Javon learn to read? And Lord, how are we going to help Josiah act right? And how are we going to, and I had all these little questions before him, thinking maybe I should get involved or not get involved. What about this, Lord? What about the church? How do we make the church grow? Although I haven't really fallen into that trap, but I've heard people do fall into that trap of, what can I do to make the church grow? And the Lord said, seek first. Not how to make the church grow or even what you're supposed to preach next. Boys, may I ask you to silence those? I'm happy for you to play. Just make them totally silent, okay? Thank you. So then the next scripture the Lord took me to is Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, and this is when Jesus is talking to the church at Ephesus, but it's true of any church. And he said, nevertheless, I have this against you. Oh, something Jesus had against him. You've left your first love. How do we not leave our first love? By seeking first his kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. And so the people that are not seeking first the kingdom of God, they've left their first love. And I don't want that as an indictment against me. I don't want the Lord to say, Elizabeth Beard, you've lost your first love. Oh, no, Lord. I've got my Bible right here. I'm doing a lot of things for the kingdom of God. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do to help Victory Temple and Church of Beloved and John Beard Ministries, and I'm making this and I'm doing that and I'm planning this. And he says, it doesn't say seek first your plan. Seek first the kingdom of God. I've berated that enough. Let's go to 1 Timothy 2:1-3. This is a letter from Paul to Timothy, and he says, therefore I exhort, first of all. Uh-oh, we got to know what the word exhort means. Elizabeth, can you help us?
The word exhort means build up.
Build up. Or strongly suggest. Like I might say, Javon, I exhort you to eat all of your oatmeal. So do I want him to eat his oatmeal? Yes, I want him to eat all of it. Amen. Or I exhort you, Josiah, to brush your teeth. So I really want him to. And Paul is saying, I really want first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men and women and boys and girls. He wants us to pray for all the people in the world. Do you know all their names, Javon? All the names of all the people in the world?
No.
Josiah, do you know the names of all the people in all the world?
No.
Elizabeth? John? No. Elizabeth? No. No. We don't know their names, but we can still pray for them that Jesus will help them and bless them, show himself to them. Well, Paul goes on to be a little more specific. He says, give thanks for all men. He said, give thanks for kings and all who are in authority. Now, who would that be in the United States?
President Trump
and Vice President Pence.
Yeah.
And we could name a lot of other leaders in our country. Give thanks and pray for the leaders and all who are in authority.
Yes.
I'm going to stop right there. I was listening to Billy Graham speak. She spoke at the ministers' conference in January at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And she has contacted a man that has received Christ in a very vivid way. He received Jesus. And now he has a lot of visions about current events and world events. Or he'll send an angel to come and talk to him. And everything that Jesus has said has happened, unless it's something in the future event. And so the first thing he said is Trump is going to be the next president. This was back in September when no one thought Trump would be the next president, except a few people. And then in October he had another vision, and the Lord said, and when I say vision, I mean he's sitting at a table and the Lord is sitting there talking to him. And he said, Trump is going to be the next president. And the third vision he had was on election, the night before election. And Jesus said, Trump is going to be the next president. Well, if you remember the media at that time, the media were going in certainly the opposite direction. And yet, God was right. God was true. I bring this up because he's had several visions since that Jesus is saying, I need the church to pray for the president. He's going through a lot of opposition today or this week, and he'll be real specific. Pray for President Trump today. Well, that's whether you like President Trump, whether you voted for him or not. None of that is important. What's important is obeying Jesus. And if Jesus says pray for President Trump, we should pray for him. Pray that he be blessed. Pray that he have wisdom. Pray that he be surrounded with wise counselors. Pray that he be bold with the things of the Lord. And give thanks for him. Amen. Well, it says pray for kings and all who are in authority. And there's a reason that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so that's what we're supposed to pray for all men, that they be saved. Javon, say, be saved.
Be saved.
And come to the knowledge of the truth. Josiah, say, knowledge of the truth.
Knowledge of the truth.
Yeah, that's what we're praying for people all the time. All people, all men, all women, all boys, no girls, right?
Yes.
All girls. Pray for them to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So that's the first thing. Now, some people think the first thing is to criticize the leaders. The first thing is to criticize all people. No, first thing is to pray. Amen.
Amen.
So one way we seek first the kingdom of God is to pray first for people. Now, Matthew 5:24 says, it's right in the middle of a passage of a story. Jesus says, leave your gift, your offering, your tithe, leave your money, leave it before the altar, and go your way. First, before you give an offering, first, before you give any money or tithe or clothes or shoes or even a drink of water, be reconciled to your brother or to your friend or to somebody.
Or to your sister.
Or to your sister. And then come and offer your money to Jesus. Jesus said, I don't want your money. I don't want your offering. Unless you first have been reconciled to your brother or your sister. Even though I knew the scripture, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I could quote it on that stuff. And the Lord spoke to me last Sunday when he started dealing with me. So the Lord started dealing with me and he said, you're not seeking first. You're seeking answers. God can't be wrong. But I acknowledge, you know, I said, I repent. I'm seeking answers. What about this? What about that? I feel pain in my body. How are you going to heal me? We've got these bills coming up. How are you going to take care of those? This situation, that situation. I need answers. I wasn't seeking first the kingdom of God. And my seeking of answers moved right into worry. It just showed me there's a better way, and there's a way to get out of your worry or seeking the wrong thing, and that's to seek his kingdom. And then Revelation 2:4, that's that scripture where Jesus is talking to the church at Ephesus, and he said, I've got this against you. You've left your first love. How do you leave your first love? By not seeking the kingdom of God first. And so he's saying, Elizabeth, You were seeking answers to questions, and that's like leaving your love, leaving your first love. And thank God, we can repent.
Amen.
We can repent. And so since that time, I've had numerous situations that I had a lot of questions about, but I refused to ask them. I've stopped asking questions just to get myself in line. I don't think it's wrong to ask questions. But personally, I want to get myself in line with the Word of God. And so when a question comes up that seems of major importance, I say, I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are added to me, and the peace will just flood back in. You know, that stress or worry that I'm tempted to go toward leaves. And then we're just finishing 1 Timothy 2:3 about first of all, pray for those in authority. Pray for all men and those in authority. And we were sharing about, Nancy, you're probably aware of this. Billy Graham was talking about his friend Max, who has these open visions from Jesus. And Jesus will talk to him about current affairs and situations that are happening in the government and other countries. And the Lord will say to him, the church needs to pray this week for President Trump. Or the church needs to pray this for President Trump. So being specific, we don't have that information ourselves, but we can still pray daily for it, for the president. And of course, you know that when this was written, the leader was one of the Caesars. I don't know exactly which one. I don't know if it was Nero or one of those. Not a godly man. And yet Paul told Timothy, we need to pray for the leaders. And what do we pray? That they be saved and that they come to the knowledge of And then, y'all eat snooze, what? Just got a text from Mary Smith, I'm not going to do it, so you know that. Great. So you don't have to save them. You need to. Then Matthew 5:24, we'll just get to there. If you're going to bring an offering to the Lord, don't leave it right there and go first and be reconciled to your brother or forgive. If they're brothers, to forgive you, or if you're against them, you forgive them. But be reconciled, and then God will receive your offering. But if we're busy giving an offering, and we're mad at the preacher, and mad at the government, and mad at our brothers and sisters, and mad at our husband or wife, then the Lord says, I don't really want that offering. Now, when I was a teenager, I went to this church, and he got up and he said, in this church before I came, you were not wanting to receive money from someone if they were not living a good Christian life. But he said, we're changing. If the Lord tells someone to give money to this church, we're going to receive it, and we're not going to ask where it came from or how you got it and prove that you're a righteous person. We're going to receive your money. And that was such a big change for that church, because they had gotten so set in their religious ways that they almost wanted proof that this money, you had a right to give it. Did you get it from working, and had you saved it? And, you know, they didn't ask you questions, but it was small enough that they knew everybody well enough that when some money came in, they wanted to, and especially if a visitor gave money, oh my goodness. Do you think we should receive this? They might have committed a crime to get this money. So when this pastor came in, that was a big change. If God moves on someone to give money, receive it and don't ask questions. Well, right here Jesus said, the only reason not to receive the money is if you have aught. Need to be reconciled with your brother. So Jesus said, first, before you give an offering, get yourself right with your brother. Amen. Up to the table.
Righteous. So how are we going to know here? Why are we talking about, no, I don't want the one for the righteous.
Yeah.
Even if for money is illegal.
They didn't go the other. There were some things. Some verses they had torn out of the Bible. And that's so good that you're bringing that out, because there are people in religious circles, and they're very conscious of many, and they believe that God is in their image. So if they're conscious of many, they think God is conscious of many. We've seen this on both sides. We've seen this vow of poverty. I want to take a vow of poverty so I can be like God. Honey, you're so far away from the truth. God is not poor. He's not poverty stricken. So if you want to be like him, you'll be rich. Amen?
Honey, God owns more land than anybody.
That's yeah, I should say.
He owns it all.
Indeed. Well, think about the universe. No man is out there.
Endless.
And so they think, well, I don't. Amen. I think God is like me. I mean, I'm like God. But they think that if I'm watching every penny, God is watching every penny.
Or my senses are good, but neglect the more important things like mercy.
So this verse really knocks all of that in the head by saying, I don't want your money unless you're doing the kingdom of God, which is being reconciled. Good. Yeah. Well, let's go on to Matthew 7:5. Hypocrite.
All right then. Tell us.
I told you my experience with John. The Lord was moving me to start attending his church, and it was a 50-mile drive there, and of course 50 miles back. There are several reasons I should not be part of this church, but I just kept dealing with that. Finally, I went to him one day. He was working on the computer. I walked up behind him, and I said, excuse me, John, I'm going to ask you a question. What? not supposed to join your church? And I said, I'm not having any wolves in that church. I went immediately and got saved again. But it reminds me of this hypocrite. First, okay, we're back to first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Don't leave your first love. First, pray for people and men and people in authority. First, be reconciled to your brother. Now, first, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Can you imagine going to an eye surgeon and he has an eye patch?
That's funny.
I think I might choose another one.
Yeah, right.
Excuse me. But so many times, and God forgive me, lots of times I'll be in the middle of surgery and the Lord will say, did you get rid of the plank yet? Mm-hmm. As soon as I finish this delicate surgery, Lord, I'll be. God forgive us. Which he did, so I just repent. And that's funny, but the Lord is making sure that you know the process. It's okay to try to remove a speck from somebody's eye, but make sure you don't have a board in your own.
A log,
yes. Yes, make sure.
It makes good sense, doesn't it? I don't know, eye doctor will look on my eye if he got bored in his eye.
Exactly. Well, if he gets it with a cane.
I'm boarding a plane, you walk by the cockpit, and the pilot turns around and says, hi, and you got a patch of wood.
Oh, I think I'll take a later flight. Have
you seen these advertisements on TV or on the internet about this new wonderful face cream, wrinkles will go away, blah, blah, blah. And I always look at the people, you know, especially the doctors that are promoting.
Yeah.
If they don't look really young, if they're not old and don't look young,
you're going.
I'm not going to buy it.
You said, wait a minute.
I was born at night, but not last
night. I need to check this out.
That's a poop in the pot.
That's cute. Well, we're going to go to Matthew 7:27. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. Now, I put this scripture in here because I want us to remind ourselves that when you're praying for something, it might not look like God's bringing you the answer, but if he'll open its mouth, it might have the answer. Amen?
Amen.
And so don't disregard his answer until you've done the first thing. Take the first thing. I have all kinds of situations. My brother always says when you pray, he's funny. When you pray, usually the first thing you think is God answering your prayer. The second thing you think is the devil trying to talk you out of it. And the third thing you think is your own opinion. So he says if you'll take the first answer, that's usually God speaking to you with the first answer. And I have had that experience many times. I think, Lord, I need to know so-and-so. Should I buy this other person's groceries? And I hear, yes, go ahead. And then I hear, well, you don't really have enough money for your own. And then I hear, oh, I don't want to bother them. So if I would take the first answer, which I have done, and it's turned out to be a great blessing many times, but I'm just using that as an example to show us, God says, take the first fish. Now, he didn't say take the gold fish, take the silver fish, take the blue striped fish. He said the first fish that jumps on that hook, well, who caused that fish to jump on that hook?
The Lord.
Obviously. Those fish obey the Lord.
I'd like to point out, too, he had to be in the place where God told him to be. He told him to go fishing, so he had to do that first, Then you was the place to catch that fish. Sometimes we miss our answers because we're not in a place God told us to be. Well, I'm pointing out.
Fishing in the desert, so to speak.
Yeah. But you see what I mean? He told us to go to Walmart and buy groceries, and we go to Kroger and say, where they at? Lord, no, it didn't work.
They weren't there, thank you, Lord. I mean, saved all that money, Lord. Okay, we're going to zoom on. Matthew 20 said, you know, this is when they said, what's the first, the most important commandment? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. This is the first. So if you don't love God, there's no way you're going to keep all those other commandments. And that's why you have these different religions floating around that say, commandment number 4 is the most important. Commandment number 10 is the most important. Commandment number 6 is the most important. No, if you're not loving God with all your heart, none of that other stuff will work. Amen. And this is the first and great commandment, and the second like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Let's go on to Luke 10:5. But whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. Now, the reason I put this in today's teaching is I think maybe we should start doing this. When you enter a...
Excuse me?
No. You're okay. You're allowed. When you enter a building, let's start saying that. Peace to this building, or peace to this house, or peace to this business. You can say it under your breath.
That's good.
If that's a little too bold. But definitely when you go to a friend's house, say, peace be to this house.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that's good.
And say that first. My first thing is, hi, how are you? But I'm going to, with the help of the Lord, I'm going to change. And even our own house, when we enter our own house, I want to start saying, peace to this house.
Amen.
And of course, I'm meaning the physical structure as well as everybody who lives in it.
Yes.
You like that?
In every way.
Yes. Nothing missing. That's right. We're going to see
something. Oh, no, I was going to say, I like that.
I like it too. Let's flip over. 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God has appointed these in the church. Now, this is the one I really was praying over this afternoon. And it says, first, apostles. And so I began to pray, what do you mean, apostles? I know God's no respecter of persons, but what do you mean? And the Lord began to talk to me about his view of government. And he said, government is necessary, and in government, there are offices in government. And if there is a disagreement, someone has to be the one to settle it. And that's why I said, the Lord is speaking to me, that's why I said, first, apostles. The apostle is the one that will settle it if there's some kind of disagreement. Let's paint the building this year. And somebody else says, no, I believe the Lord's going to give us a new building this year. Let's not paint it. So you've got a disagreement, not mad or anything, just two opinions, two beliefs. And so who's going to settle it? The apostle. First apostle. Now, I was hoping John would be able to speak to that. He is an apostle. The Lord came to him. The Lord stood in front of him. The Lord said, I have called you to be an apostle. And John, you know, if he had his way, at that time he was kind of a shy person and he didn't want to thrust himself into the limelight or even be thrust into the limelight. But the Lord said, I've called you to be an apostle. Well, you can't argue with the Lord. And so he's had a lot more experience in this apostle business. So, John, do you have comments about that first apostle?
He's bringing out the order inside the church of authority. The apostles and the prophets and teachers authority. So, like in my case, when I first went into the ministry, God called me into. I wasn't operating as an apostle, even though He put that anointing and made me that. He said, you know, that meant this is what you're going to be when you mature. Well, I first wasn't mature, even though I knew I was going to be that. I was an associate pastor. And I was that for about 2-3 years, something like that. And then he allowed me to be a pastor to oversee his people. And it kept going. And then, you know, right now, there's several ministers that communicate with me, like giving them wisdom, or they asked me to pray for them in their ministry and everything. So I'm overseeing a few ministries right now. And so as I mature, God will allow me to do more. And originally he said I'd be pastoring like satellite of churches. And right now I'm doing two of them right now. But I'm supposed to be in overseeing many churches. But that's what I mean. The apostle says first, and that's because like Paul, Peter, and all the churches, and over the ministers like Timothy and that, and those. But nowadays, in all the denominations are not structured correctly. And we have a book we're gonna be handing out soon that goes through the Bible and lists all this structure out and teaching about it. And it's by Bob Yandon, which he's a professor and a doctor, and he used to teach at Raymond Bible School. And he put this together, and it's the second edition of. I've had one. Well, I guess about 20 years, and we'll be getting that to y'all. I think in February, we're going to get the deal back. We have a meeting, or we decided not to.
I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that there is structure. And we all need to know the structure.
See, there's so many denominations are configured already, and I'm not trying to put any of them down, but they're not structured right. For example, some churches have a board, and that board rules over the church and the pastor. That's not correct.
No.
And then some have the congregation rule over the pastor. Well, that's not correct. The pastor should be submitted to an apostle. That's the right structure. But the Lord told Brother Copeland, he's got ministers in preaching, they're not even called to be ministers. He got some ministers selling shoes. It's all messed up because people are afraid of faith or think they have a little knowledge of the Word of God. Like Elizabeth was saying to me, I did not have a desire to teach the people. But when Jesus came to me, and I was willing to receive the anointing. Now, I'd love to teach the people. I like that. I enjoy it. Enjoy the people. Love the people. And back then, like she was saying, I was shy because I had no desire. But once that anointing came, that's who I am. You know, it's different.
Amen.
I don't know if that's what you want me to say. Honey.
Yes, that's wonderful. Well, the point is, why does it say first apostles? Did he just need an order? No, I think the apostle has some level of preeminence in the church.
That's oftentimes start the churches. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. That's what you saw just now. The apostle Paul would start a church, come back, and he would set the minister, like Timothy or whatever. He would set the pastor in. And then he'd come back and check on them. And if they had a problem, they would write him a letter. And then he would write them back, and that's where you get Romans, the First Corinthians, and Titus. Those are all letters correcting a problem that was in church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I wanted to bring out in Acts chapter 6. I'll just read it to you. Verse 1. Now, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 apostles, the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So this tells you, what is an apostle supposed to do? Not serve tables. And then verse 3, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Verse 4 is where I'm going. But we will give ourselves continually to counseling.
No, that word of prayer.
Continually to casting out devils.
Prayer.
And to the ministry of the word, teaching the word. And so the apostle, being an apostle wasn't just, okay, now you can be in charge. No, they've got to be spending their time in prayer so that when a question is presented to them, they have the answer of the Lord.
He showed me things to come sometimes 2 years in advance, and that was a learning part to me. Okay, I had this vision or I had this word from the Lord. When do I apply it? Or when do I say it? And the first time he would give me revelation, wow, that's a great, and I'd share it, and the people about run me out of town. And I said, Lord, that was from you one day, rejection. They weren't ready for it. And you should have shared it. You can't, and you gave me a scripture above, it said a fitly spoken word is like golden apples in a silver bowl. So see, I gave them rotten apples in a silver bowl. Because they weren't ready for it.
That's right.
So that was a part of, you know, as y'all begin to move more and more in the gifts of the Spirit, one thing comes up on, do I share this, Lord, or you just hold and give this to me so I can praise for them in private? You know, that's a part of. And as you learn how to do that, you have the more understanding, more revelation, more word knowledge, and more prophecy, you know, every day. You know, some things God showed me about people 15 years ago, I've never told them. I just pray for us. And so, Lord, release me. He said, I got that fixed now. And I don't have to pray about it no more.
Amen. Or I know some people, God has shown you some people in leadership roles, and they're far from attending church, much less being in a leadership role. So he just holds that. He prays until there's a time.
Eventually they step out of the way. Somebody that was in leadership liked them, so they pushed it until they got them in their pastoring or whatever position in the church. And see, that people don't realize, it don't matter how much knowledge you have, if the anointing of God is not there with your approving,
right.
Forget it.
Forget it, that's right.
Yeah, because it won't help nobody. You know, knowledge by itself is puffed up, right?
Right.
Well, let's go on. We have a few more. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Some of my favorite scriptures, because this is the gospel. Bang, bang, bang. And brother, while I'm reading it off of the paper, would you find it in your New Living? That 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. I'm going to read the New King James. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Bam, bam, bam. Very succinct. What does the New Living say, brother?
The New Living says, I passed on to you what was most important, and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins just as the scriptures said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said.
Amen. Amen. So he says, this is one of the first things you should share with people. I delivered to you first of all. First of all. Got to get that salvation. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 8, 5. They first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us. by the will of God. And that's what we want in the church. Amen. People that are first given to the Lord. And then give us their support and their prayer and their kindness. Right? We want the people God has called into that church. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ephesians 6:2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, the first commandment was, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. First one with promise is, honor your father and mother. And you know the rest of it, that it may be well with you and you may live long life, long in the earth. Praise God.
Isn't that something? You would think loving God first, there'd be a blessing tied to it, right? I mean, but it's not. It's loving you, honor your mother and father.
Amen.
It seems, my mind says, wait a minute, loving God is important. But it's not saying it's not important. It's saying, but I can't remember that exact wording.
As a promise. Well,
first with a promise.
Amen. He wants that to be a the blessing to be a family affair.
Yes. Well, I think he knows that Hebrews chapter 12 talks about if you don't honor your earthly father, you're not going to honor your heavenly father. Mm-hmm. And if you don't receive correction from your earthly father, you're not going to receive correction from your heavenly father. And of course, father can mean mother, father, whoever's in authority over you, right? So if you don't receive the correction from your mother, you're not going to receive it from God.
Right. So that's proof that you love God and you'll serve.
Yes. So those two commandments, like John said, they go right together. Okay, James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. And I was thinking, when we're learning to hear the voice of the Lord, there are going to be lots of voices talking. But if it is pure. Don't you remember that revelation Elizabeth had about the blood of Jesus is pure? The wisdom of God is also pure. It's first pure. Then, you know, it goes on, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, full of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. But first, pure.
Amen.
Was that James? No shadow of
turning. Amen.
No shadow.
You know, then I think a key to in there is the wisdom you have. If it's going to bear nothing but to you, it's probably not from God. Do you know what I mean? If it's all if the wisdom you have from the Lord will always bear fruit for the kingdom. And yes, you'll be blessed. I'm not saying that, but it won't be about you. It'll be about the kingdom.
Well, that goes right back to that. What you're saying is good, and it goes right back to that first scripture. Seek first me. Seek first my way. Seek first what I want. Seek first my answers. Seek first my exaltation. Seek first my blessing. It doesn't say that. And if you seek God, then there will be good fruits. Not just for you, or not just for the world, other people, but for you. Well, our last one, 2 Peter 1:20. Knowing this first, we need to know something. No prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Well, that knocks down every denomination that we've ever heard of, and certainly every false religion. We were watching some silly show, and anyway, one of the characters had gotten religion. And so one minute he's quoting the Quran, and one minute he's quoting the Torah, and one minute he's quoting the Bible, and he's got a Jewish skull cap on and Hindu beads, and you know, the man is totally confused. He doesn't know this verse. First of all, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. So one denomination or one religion cannot say, we have it all now. No, 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 no. You may have Jesus, which is a good thing, and he'll show you all things, but it's no private interpretation. You cannot say, now, Brother Phil, God loves you and everything, But this verse that says, my God will supply all my needs, that's only to me. I'm sorry. You know, maybe there's one here for you. No, all of them are for all of us. All of God's creation. Even the unsaved, if they'll get saved, it can be for them. Amen. And so there's no private interpretation, and I can open to a scripture and say, oh, this is what this means to me. Whereas you could say, well, I know that scripture, and it means this to me, which is a whole, opens up a whole new door for my understanding and my revelation. The third person has perhaps another interpretation, and it's the magnificent greatness of God that can express all these things to us at the time we'll receive that particular revelation. Amen? I told you that one, my God, and then the other, after I quoted that for a long time, the Lord said, well, who is your God? See, I was ready for the next revelation in that same scripture. That scripture didn't have only one interpretation or private interpretation. It has multiple facets and levels of interpretation for all of us. Yeah. You know, it might mean one thing to you. I know the first time I heard it, I'm thinking money, 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 money. And then
I grew.
Well, I'm willing to hear any comments y'all would like to make.